much about. You gotta put it in perspective.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Woo! It'd be sort of like what they do in Amsterdam, and that seems to have worked out for that country, right?
Okay, Muggs, Amsterdam's not a country.
Oh, yeah, it's a city.
Muggs, do you know what country Amsterdam is in?
Yes, Denmark.
Got something in my front pocket for you. Why don't you reach out in my pocket and see what it is? Then grab onto it just for you. Give a little squeeze and say, how do you do? There's something in my front pocket. There's something in my front pocket. There's something in my front pocket.
And now.
We're not here to pass moral judgment. We're here to stamp out BD.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 20th of September.
Hey, kids. First of all.
Hey.
Second of all, is fall tomorrow? Tomorrow, first day of autumn?
I thought it was Saturday, like Saturday night. So Sunday is the first full day of fall. Could be wrong.
Yeah. It's I don't odd. Know why the 21st is what sticks in my mind, but I don't know either.
It's odd here because, there's no change to the weather whatsoever.
Right.
So technically we understand that's the date or whatever, but it doesn't really change.
September equinox will be at 6:54 p.m. Saturday, September 22nd. So Sunday is the first full day of fall.
Okay. Oh, so then we still have a couple days to enjoy summer then.
Yeah, feels good.
Well, once fall hits, though, that means you got to get all your Christmas shopping done. I mean, essentially, that's the...
I mean, not technically.
Well, once autumn begins, I mean, it's a, as we always talk about, it's a snowball toward the holidays.
Right.
It goes super fast once you get into fall, is what I'm saying. Sure. So you should be working on that.
You are freaking people out real early.
Well, I'm just saying. Okay. Hey, first of all, Yasiel Puig. Second of all, I got a great story here out of a Seattle suburb called Lakewood. A woman fell asleep on a Sound Transit train on her way home.
Okay.
And they just closed up, put the train in storage and went home for the night.
They didn't see her?
Didn't check.
Huh.
They're supposed to. That's part of the plan is they're supposed to check, make sure nobody's still on the train.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just policy, but they skipped it like they probably do most nights, figuring how what are the chances somebody's still on the train,
right?
We're past the last stop. So here is the woman who unfortunately woke up all alone on a train.
It really scared me, and I'm embarrassed to say because I'm an adult. But my goodness, that scared me so bad.
Jamila Blakely hardly slept last night.
Wake up on a train, there's no one there, you're by yourself.
After going to the dentist, the Lakewood mother got on the Sounder train in Kent, headed home Thursday afternoon. She dozed off for about 3 hours.
Okay. I can't get 3 consecutive hours in home on drugs in my own bed.
Mm. Also, is that dozing off? If it's
yeah,
3 hours?
That's deep sleep.
How do you sleep for 3 hours on a train? How is there not enough noise to wake you up?
I think the sentence prior to her getting on the train helps that
story.
She's
a little loopy from the dentist.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like a long time.
It does. That's
but a lot of people are afraid of the dentist, so they take different things. So she might have been on some stuff anyway.
And I also hate to say this. I mean, God forbid, but 3 hours a woman asleep on a train? How did somebody, not rob her or worse? You know what I mean?
I don't know, but it's odd to me that you can immediately figure out a way to make it worse.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, thank God that didn't happen. But, I mean, that would be a real concern of mine if I'm sound asleep on a public transportation. All right, let's hear more because she was really shaken by it.
Long after the train made its final stop in Lakewood.
So I woke up. It was like the Twilight Zone. I was panicking. I was like, help! Somebody help! I was going into car to car to car to car.
The train was in a storage yard about a mile from the station, and the doors were locked.
So I was panicking, crying on the phone to 911.
The dispatcher told Blakely to calm down, to look for emergency exits or ways to get a door open.
By the way, would you be panicked if you were on the train by yourself? I guess there'd be a certain level of panic that you were going to have to stay there overnight,
I would think a certain level, yeah. I don't think I'd be panicked. I think I'd be a little worried.
Ghosts.
Oh, ghosts, right?
Ghosts. Yeah. Sure.
By the way, she's very lucky that this train was not just kept in an underground station or something like that, where she might not get 911 service. At least she was able to call someone, which makes a big difference. All right, so they said, don't panic, just look for a way out. There has to be some sort of emergency, you know, exit or something.
And she found one.
So I let the lady know. I said, there's a piece of plastic where you could push it to open the door. She said, well, get it. I socked that plastic so hard one time. I said, pow, it opened up. Pushed the thing, the doors came, I flew out.
She describes it as if she just climbed Everest, by the way.
Yeah, she's a superhero.
I mean, she pushed a button is really all that happened.
No, pow.
Right.
Oh, I forgot about pow.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what her expectations are going forward.
Matter of fact, it was such a scary situation. I might write a letter to Hollywood, tell them to make a movie off of it.
Okay. Mm.
First of all, how do you write a letter to Hollywood?
You know. You just write Hollywood, right. Mail it. You're
okay.
Good.
Hey, Hollywood. And second of all, let's pause and think for a moment how that movie would go.
Yeah, I think we just heard it.
I know. I'm not sure there's a lot left. I mean, it's not the 1517 to Paris, okay?
I mean, it's a good jumping off point for a horror movie or something.
But the
story as it happened, no thank you.
Yeah.
Here's my concern. Is she now 3 hours from home?
Don't know.
I don't think so, no. She was meant to get off in Lakewood, which was the last stop on the run. And then it went about a mile past that, I think they said. So, yeah, she probably had to call somebody to come get her or something like that. All right, final clip.
That was how scary he was.
Blakely doesn't own a car, so she will have to rely on public transportation again.
I'm going to take the train, but I'm not going to sleep. I would never, ever go to sleep on a train again.
Okay.
Fair, yeah.
I think
a week from now, a woman fell asleep.
I'm not sure it's a movie, but I'm glad that Jamila was okay.
I mean, maybe it's an after-school TV special.
It's not even a short story.
Okay, not even that. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
We're talking poo.
Oh.
Yeah. You realize that? I have a lot of other stuff on here, but we can squeeze it in.
Or squeeze it out.
You too.
Dr. Drew joins us on Thursdays. We talked to him today. We have regrettable tattoos. I don't know if you've been following the Pete Davidson story, but everything he sees, he gets a tattoo of. It's bizarre. RJ Bell, talking about the NFL Week 3.
He's had a winning season every year he's been on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you follow what RJ says, you will have made money by now.
John C. Reilly, who we love so much.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
He's going to be in talking the Sisters Brothers. It's the name of the movie.
It's an awkward title, but by all accounts, it's an amazing movie. And my God, what a cast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Wheel of Crap. On today's show, we're giving stuff away because we're moving out of this building.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff is really not good.
Yeah. Some of it is awful.
A few things are pretty good.
Yeah, some good stuff today.
And Get Up on This with Jensen Karp. We also do on Thursday mornings. We'll take a break. We will come back with what's happening next. Well, it was 6.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Let me tell you about a good band, Churches, you guys. Have you seen them? They are captivating.
I've not seen them live, no.
And their music you know and love, they're going to be appearing in the HD Radio Sound Space right here at K-Rock on Monday, hosted by Nicole Alvarez. If you want to go, we got tickets for you every hour this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Great chance to see a great band up close and personal. It's 5:54 Thursday morning. Allie, what's happening?
I would love to be called captivating.
Okay. I mean, that's the first word that came to mind when I thought about them. They are something else.
Captivating. Oof.
That does sound pretty strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I dig it.
I've never had that said about me either.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, maybe let's make it our goal.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's just try and work it in. Mm-hmm. No one will know in the next. Right. Let's do it today in today's show.
All right.
Okay. All right. All right.
That would be wonderful.
Captivating. Okay.
Okay. Dave Grohl.
That's captivating.
Oh, I mean, it was smooth.
It was I got that going for me.
Dave Grohl is going to be a guest on the 50th anniversary season of Sesame Street.
Yay!
He's just going to perform a song with Elmo and Big Bird. No nice. Big,
that's
right?
That's crazy.
Nice.
Huge. Yeah. And he's no stranger to furry and felted friends. Dave previously appeared in 2015's The Muppet Movie. Remember, he did a drum battle
that's
with Animal?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Sesame Street's new season, which will premiere on HBO, will reportedly show some of the Muppets traveling across the United States, visiting kids in their own neighborhoods. You don't need to go to Sesame Street. They're coming to you, kids.
Right. I will watch that.
Kids nowadays have no idea how lucky they are. But they're, Sesame Street is visiting them.
Yeah.
That's
they're on,
awesome.
They're on the road.
With Dave Grohl.
With Dave Grohl, no big deal.
Hey, King of Mexico, our producer in the other room, if you're listening, can we say yet? Are we allowed to say yet or no?
I think we're allowed to say.
Well,
sure, why not?
Sure, why not? I like that from a producer. He should either be a yes or no, but sure, why not?
Yes.
Allie, you just brought up Dave Grohl. What if I were to tell you that he and his little friend Taylor Hawkins will be here on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow morning?
Yeah!
That is captivating.
Huh?
Well done.
Too soon?
No.
There, I think, will be the final guests in this building before they blow it up.
Well, that makes perfect sense to me.
They're blowing up the building, and then Churches is playing Monday?
Yes.
That's weird. A bad business model right there.
It's going to be awkward. It's going to be awkward, but we are very excited. Of course, they got the Cal Jam coming up. We're very excited. There's tons to talk to those guys. They're two of our favorite people in the world.
Wonderful.
And they're coming in tomorrow morning in the 7 o'clock hour here on KROQ. You definitely don't want to miss it.
Well, I look forward to being captivated.
Okay, now you're overdoing
it. Too much?
No.
Okay. So if you're Kiss, legendary band, there's only one place that's truly rock enough where you would announce your farewell tour.
Another farewell tour?
This is their farewell tour.
I see. The
big one. The farewell tour. Where would be rock enough for a band like Kiss to make that announcement?
Well, I would say the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Because they are members.
Sure.
They were inducted. That would be an appropriate place.
Sure.
I don't know. Nothing's coming to mind when you say rock enough.
I mean, like Stonehenge. That would be bitchin'.
Okay.
Right?
There you go.
Literal rocks. Okay.
Yeah. They did it during last night's broadcast of America's Got Talent. I'm sorry.
What? Huh?
What?
Hmm?
Yeah, the group made the announcement on NBC's America's Got Talent. They also performed their 1976 hit, Detroit Rock City.
Which was awesome, by the way.
You watched, I knew you would.
I love Kiss. You know I love Kiss.
They announced their End of the Road World Tour. And according to the statement, this will be the ultimate celebration of those who have seen us and a last chance for those who haven't.
This is it. I mean, this is really it. This is the final curtain call.
Okay.
And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
And you said that a lot, though.
But that guy did mean
it. He did mean it.
He did mean it. Kiss Army, we're saying goodbye on our final tour with our biggest show yet. And we'll go out the same way we came in. Unapologetic and unstoppable. Yeah, Kiss.
Ugh.
Being so ready for this.
You can mock if you want. They put on one of the greatest live shows in rock and roll history.
I mean, take it easy.
They do. They're
it's
amazing.
Sort of kitschy, though, isn't it?
It's
not really. Compare their performance with Foo Fighters.
I'm saying their music is great and it's visually astonishing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. There's so much going on in that show on top of great songs.
Would you say captivating?
I would not.
Okay.
I never want to hear that word again. I mean, I think what Kevin is forgetting is that they not only rock and roll all night.
Right.
Yeah.
They also then get up the next day and party every day.
I did forget that commitment.
Yes.
Yeah.
It seems exhausting.
Right.
It does.
Yeah.
It's amazing that I can keep up with them, but I will go see this final tour. Now, of course, the big question that wasn't addressed that is on everyone's mind is...
Will they light your wife's hair on fire?
Right. No. Done and done. Are they going to bring Ace and Peter back?
You have to.
I would think so.
You would think so.
Yeah.
But Gene
Simmons,
it doesn't seem like feels that way ever.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't want to, he wouldn't even give it a second thought.
Well, I know Ace has burned a lot of bridges with them by being a drug addict. And Gene has no tolerance or time for that. So I don't know. It'd be, I mean, I think that's what the fans would like to see is the right. original four that started it back in 1972. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. But it was a big announcement and, yeah. and certainly a very metal place to make it.
For sure. What was the crowd's response? I can't imagine anyone in that crowd was like, yeah, Kiss.
You know, it was the opening of the show, so I think you get the crowd at their most hyped. What okay. was awkward, though, is that during the instrumental part of Detroit Rock City, they bring Tyra Banks out, who apparently is the host of American
Got Talent.
She
is. Okay. And she's annoying.
And then they bring out the judges. So during the Kiss song, you've got like Simon Cowell walking out on stage and stuff. It was a little bit awkward.
Did he sit down and just hit the buzzer, the X, immediately?
That's a no from me.
That would have been great.
You guys are terrible.
Each one sits down, hits the button.
So it was kind of a weird way to see Kiss.
Interesting.
But, that's big news.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about some birthdays. Author of Game of Thrones, George R.R. Martin. John Bernthal from The Punisher, Walking Dead. Ben Shepherd, bassist of Soundgarden. And Gary Cole from pretty much everything. And we love him on Veep so very much. And that's what's happening.
Brian Orozco, Santa Ana, listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here this morning. Generally not a good choice, but it paid off for him today because he has won tickets to join us for Churches in the HD Radio Sound Space here at K-Rock. It's going to be happening on Monday, hosted by our friend Nicole Alvarez. You can head on over to KRock.com for another chance to win. And we've got them for you every hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, I just wanted to ask real quick. I know we're going to get to John C. Reilly on the phone here in a second.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But we're doing the Wheel of Crap next hour.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
As we have mentioned multiple times, we are moving out of this building, so everything must go. There was talk in the office about giving away the couch.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I am very concerned just from a hazmat situation
that
couch is going to end up in somebody's house and then we're going to be on the hook when they get syphilis and they get cholera and I don't know what else is on that couch.
Definitely cholera.
Definitely. It's one of the biggies.
Why do I feel like that's going in the Mr. Bad Example file?
I'm concerned about the Black Plague. I'm not sure.
They're going to have to sign all kinds of paperwork saying it as is and it could probably kill you, and we understand that, and we take our responsibility on ourselves.
Yes.
But that couch has been here at K-Rock for 20 years. Do you know what's been going on that couch?
Yeah, there's waivers involved, for sure.
People have slept on it. We get it. I'm just saying, if we give that couch away, I don't want to be held responsible if anybody gets sick.
Same.
Hey, speaking of bodily fluids, John C. Reilly's on the phone, you guys.
Odd.
Hey, John, welcome back, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great. We were just having a conversation about bodily fluids on the program, like we do.
And why do I remind you of bodily fluids?
Because I understand there's a ton of them in the Sisters Brothers, your new film that opens in L.A. tomorrow, and I want to find out more about that. Like, what fluids are we talking about here, John?
Well, the first fluid would be the bad blood that we receive from our murderous father.
Okay.
Oh, well done.
All right.
And then there's spiders that lay eggs in me. There's a lot of spider juice involved.
Oh, I don't want to hear the word spider juice ever.
Somebody gets amputated. It's a lot of fun.
So this is great for the whole family, it sounds like, John.
Yeah, definitely.
The film is called The Sisters Brothers. It is getting absolute rave reviews, and I love what a thoughtful interview you have been as you've been doing press for this movie in the last few weeks, because you've really pointed something out to
me. It's a shame to blow it this morning with you guys.
I know. Right? Well, we drag everyone down, John. It's not your fault. But I love that you talk about it, and if you wouldn't mind sharing with our listeners a little bit about what's significant about making this movie in 1851. It was kind of a change in humanity, at least in our country at that time, right?
Yeah, it was an interesting time. It was like our story takes place in the Pacific Northwest, like during the Gold Rush. And that time in San Francisco, there were just thousands and thousands of people pouring in from everywhere. The Bay of San Francisco is filled with empty ships that had been abandoned from people just running into the hills with gold fever. And right around that time, too, is when the cartridge bullet was invented. So the rate of fire in the West went up considerably right around this time.
Perfect.
I think it was a tipping point when people were like, wait a second, are we going to continue the way we've been going, or are we going to figure out some kind of system that keeps everyone from killing each other?
Yeah, and your character is like kind of struggling with that because this is the only life he's ever known is kind of this violent life out there with his brother, played by the great Joaquin Phoenix. And you're the kind of the guy who says, hey, maybe there's a better way. Maybe we don't have to be this dude. So it sounds like there's really a lot of heart and a lot of brain in this movie, even though people aren't used to seeing that in a Western.
Yeah, we look like filthy brutes, but they're actually really complicated characters. They're almost like those child soldiers in Africa, you know, those, when they push kids into war when they're like 10 years old. That's right. Kind of what happens to our characters when we're kids. We have to kill our father. And
like you do.
Yeah, you know, when push comes to shove. But yeah, so we're sort of I don't know, sympathetic murderers. Like you end up really feeling for these guys because in some ways they're like traumatized when they're kids, and they're doing this not so much because they choose to do it, but because it's the only thing they've ever done. You know,
those right. are my favorite murderers.
The movie's, the movie's based on a book called The Sisters Brothers by Patrick DeWitt, and the book is just this incredible, like, really original look at this time. You know, we've seen so many Westerns that's like good guys and bad guys on horses, and those are a lot of fun, but this one really goes into the detail of the time. Like, what would it be like to have never brushed your teeth before and someone told you, this is a toothbrush for brushing your teeth? Like, there's all these really cool details, and then you're right, a lot of really cool emotional vulnerability among these guys, which you're really not used to seeing in a Western.
I've read in a couple different interviews that this is the role of your career. Have you seen people writing
wow.
about this?
Does that mean my career's over?
No, obviously not.
I hope not.
I think they're just saying that this is a role of a lifetime and you are shining in it.
Oh, that's really nice. Yeah, we've been, the whole film's been getting some great reviews. And I have to say, it really is a quartet. You know, I have been getting some nice notices for my work in it, but we really did work as a quartet. And that's one of the beautiful things about the film is the director really balanced these performances between Jake Gyllenhaal and Riz Ahmed and Joaquin and I. It's really a great look at these four guys.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable cast, too. Rutger Hauer is in the movie.
Carol Kane.
Creed from The Office is in the movie, by the way, you guys. Which I'm so psyched to see him in a saloon. John, have you done a Western before? Forgive me, I probably should have looked that up, but is this your first Western?
Yeah, I think so.
How'd you remember?
How'd you do riding a horse and living out on the prairie while you were making this thing?
Well, I'm thinking of, I played a singing cowboy in the Prairie Home Companion movie.
Sure.
I was like this sort of CIA operative on horseback in a movie called Lake Cowboys, but I think this is my first actual American Western.
I heard you had a real connection to your horse. You would visit your horse often.
Yeah, I used to, it was for practical reasons, too. I quickly realized, like, a horse is not a bicycle.
Right.
A horse is a being that has an opinion and has an opinion about you and whether it wants to be friends with you. So I realized, like, I'm going to go visit this guy on the weekend so he doesn't forget who I am that Monday.
Was that a please don't kill me?
Apples on the weekend and talk to him. And
oh, that's amazing.
He's a really great horse. His name is Pollito, which means little chicken. But he had a real bad gas problem.
Oh, dear.
So whenever the director would call action, there would be some gas that happened. So instead of Pollito, they started calling him Pedito, which means little fart.
That's amazing. I just see John C. Reilly on the weekend taking his therapist with him to go work things out with his horse.
I love that.
That's so funny. All right, a couple more minutes with the great John C. Reilly. Again, the film we're talking about is The Sisters Brothers opening in L.A. tomorrow. Allie, you had a little bit of a crushing question you wanted to ask John.
See, I thought I loved John C. Reilly anyway.
Right.
And then I read this, and I'm like, he's the ultimate man. John C. Reilly, you roller skate.
Oh, yeah.
Still?
Yes.
That makes me the ultimate man?
Yes. Oh,
wow, it's so easy.
I assume you haven't heard that a lot.
I've heard other things ascribed to roller skating. But
sure.
Being macho wasn't one of them.
No, it's the best.
Not macho, but like the whole package. I get what you mean.
Yeah, you get
excellent balance, very strong thighs.
Yep.
These are things look for in a man.
That's what I was going for.
Women look for in a man.
Absolutely.
Do you have a favorite song or a favorite kind of music you like to roller skate to, John?
Well, the canon of roller skating music is the disco era.
Sure.
Something about that. Mm-hmm. Something about that beat. I do like all the old school hip hop kind of stuff.
Yeah, you gotta roller skate to. Gotta roller skate to White Lines, right?
Yeah, exactly. This, you know, nothing too fast, nothing too slow.
You
is the
get
kinda,
it.
Okay.
But,
are you? The real classic roller skating music, though, is the organ, live Wurlitzer organ in the rink. That's pretty fun, too.
Yes.
From when you grew up in the 1920s, right,
no,
John?
I know exactly what you're talking about, John C. Reilly.
I grew up in the 70s in Chicago, and roller rinks were still really popular. It's like what we did every weekend.
Let me ask you about this. How good are you? Do you step out there, and then everybody goes, clear the place, clear the place. There's John.
I do go very fast. And I'm 6'2", so they do say clear the place, but it's because
it's a safety.
I might take someone out in a football tackle. In fact, I've developed this technique. Sometimes people like dart in front of you at the last second. There's not much you can do. So I developed this technique of grabbing people by the shoulders and just picking them up. So that we, instead of just slamming into them and hitting the ground, I pick them up and we kind of fly together for a second and then set them back down once we're stable.
Oh, nice.
That's you. Amazing. Roller skating and saving lives.
That's what he does.
He does it all, you guys. He does it all. All right. Sadly, we're out of time. It's always such a pleasure when Mr. Reilly joins us. The film is getting rave reviews. What a cast. It's called The Sisters Brothers, opening tomorrow in Los Angeles, opening wider in October. John, you're welcome anytime, sir. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Yeah, I really appreciate the chance to talk to you guys again. See you in the movies.
We will be there. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Our friend Jensen Krebs is going to be joining us just after the top of the hour with his weekly Get Up on This segment. He'll introduce us to something new. That'll be fun. And we're going to be looking for your tattoos. It's been a while since we've done your calls, rather, on regrettable tattoos. It's been a while since we've had that conversation. But Pete Davidson is on track to have a bunch of them, isn't he?
Yeah, he's crazy.
Yeah, he's getting one in about every 3 days. So we'll talk tattoos coming up as well. First, Allie's here with what's happening on a Thursday.
Remember late in the show when we found out that Maroon 5 has reportedly been booked as the act for the 2019 Super Bowl halftime?
Tell me that was bad information, and today they've come clean, and it's Weird Al.
Well, no. The NFL did release a statement on the rumor saying it's a Super Bowl tradition to speculate about the performers for the Pepsi halftime show. We are continuing to work with Pepsi on our plans, but do not have any announcements to make on what will be another epic show.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Now, if it's gonna, let's parse that, because if it's going to be an epic show, I guess they're saying it's not going to be Maroon 5.
Here's where Conspiracy Alley comes in.
Okay, right. Then I have a theory.
And I know that they do this every year. They don't announce it, blah, blah, blah. Someone leaked something. But it was also a leak a while ago that Jay-Z was going to be doing it. Remember that?
Right.
I feel like they let out little tidbits to gauge the audience's reaction. So they're monitoring all social media. They're hearing what people say, and they're like, ooh, maybe not Maroon 5.
So they put that out there, then they just see the response.
That's what I'm thinking.
Interesting.
Huh?
In a million years, they would never have Jay-Z do it.
No.
He's way down with the kneeling, and the NFL's not going to drag that back out.
Right.
You're still not getting Weird Al, though.
No, that's
to me,
not
that
happen.
Sounds like it's going to be Maroon 5 plus
special guest.
They love doing that, and then they say it makes it an event.
Right.
Or,
Yeah. I don't know many Maroon 5 songs. Have they done stuff recently with big names?
Work with other singers? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not down on that. I mean, we'll ask. We'll ask Jensen. That's his kind of music. So
it is not. Why would you do that to Jensen? But I'm just saying, maybe they're feeling it out. Who knows?
Dave says he predicts Cardi B will come out with
He does a song with Cardi B.
Does.
All right.
There you go.
Well, there you have it.
All right. That's not going to be good.
It's going to be Maroon 5. Hey, guys.
I mean, I'm trying to think of somebody worse. I mean, I guess they could Nickelback it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of worse bands than them.
Yeah. No, and they did have some big, big hits back
in
the day.
They're just generically good.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing great about them, but right. They're not bad. But
they're not
just
awful.
Generic.
I didn't hate Moves Like Jagger at the time. I don't ever need to hear it again, but I didn't hate it. Okay. All right. There are worse bands.
Okay.
All right. So, in his first project since directing the record-breaking Black Panther, guess what he's doing? Ryan Coogler. Who's he teaming up with?
I don't know.
He's teaming up with LeBron James on the long-anticipated follow-up to the Michael Jordan Bugs Bunny hit Space Jam. Okay. So Ryan Coogler is going to produce it. Terrence Nance, who created HBO's Random Acts of Flyness, is going to direct it. And production is tentatively slated for 2019 during the NBA offseason. And this will be LeBron James' first starring role since he was in the movie with Amy Schumer, Trainwreck. So this is a chance for him to really flex his acting muscles.
I'm not going to see that, and we need to focus on what we're doing.
I'm telling you, so many people will see a follow-up to Space Jam.
Isn't Space Jam, I mean, maybe not now, but for years it was a super popular video game, too. Like, Space Jam has never gone away for some people.
I don't know. I'm not one of those people.
Yeah. I'm sorry. LeBron James playing basketball against Bugs Bunny is not for me.
Well, how do we know it's Bugs Bunny? Maybe they change it up.
Right?
Right?
Eric Cartman. That I would watch.
He would keep taking the ball and going home. Screw you guys. Oh, I'm in. I'm just going to say it right now. And we knew that Kelly Clarkson had shot a pilot for a talk show. Well, now we know it has been picked up in 11 markets. It's been sold to the NBC-owned television station group for its fall 2019 debut. It's going to be a one-hour show featuring the Grammy winner as host, obviously, and will act as the lead-in to Ellen on NBC-owned stations, including right here in Los Angeles. So, Kelly Clarkson.
All right.
You know she's got to have Steve Carell on, right?
Sure.
And wax him? Don't you think?
I think they should just make him her announcer.
Kelly Clarkson.
That would be very funny. So every single time the show starts.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
And then he would leave.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Who are they? Whose show are they bumping?
I think it's different in all different markets. Mm-hmm.
I hope it's Wendy Williams.
Oh, no. I don't think she's on NBC stations.
Dr. Phil, I think, is after Ellen, so that's probably not it. I just
wanted to.
Somebody's got to lose a slot, I'm saying, if they're putting her on daytime.
That's for sure. Yeah. I'll look into that.
You're not going to look into
that. I won't, but possibly. Yeah. Oh, no. I hope it's not a soap opera, because you know how those people get.
Yeah, they get a little crazy.
No, they go insane if soap operas are bumped. Oh, God, I hope it's not a soap opera. What's on before Ellen?
I don't know.
I don't care.
No?
No.
Not even a little?
Not really.
Okay.
Because I'm sure if it's good, they'll find another place for it. I assumed.
What time is Days of Our Lives on,
you
guys?
I don't know.
I mean, this is very concerning. What's going to happen in Salem, right?
I'm turning on my TV right now, so you keep you move on to something else, and I'll let you know.
It's going to be a good use of our time.
No, I'm almost there.
Do you remember when we read that Kelly Clarkson shot the project, the pilot?
No, Kelly Clarkson!
And it took place in like a barn situation, so it was a little country. Hey, what's before Ellen?
Steve Harvey.
Oh, no.
Yep, it's Days of Our Lives at 1, then Steve Harvey at 2, then Ellen at 3. So sorry, Steve.
Beat it, kid.
Don't find him another slot, I assume.
I'm sure.
Unless he's quitting. I don't know.
Yeah, he does do Family Feud, too.
Sure.
Look at us.
I just couldn't have less interest.
No.
Since the very beginning of the story. And you guys are just going to sit here.
It's fun.
For the rest of the day, looking up facts on what show is before Ellen.
Like, I wonder what they could switch, though, to keep Steve Harvey still
don't care, but in a
good slot. Because you don't want to mess with the Days of Our Lives. No?
Rady and Durf.
Some birthdays for you. Ben Shepherd, bassist, Soundgarden. John Bernthal, actor from The Punisher, The Walking Dead. George R.R. Martin, very busy writing the new Game of Thrones. And Gary Cole, Veep, Entourage, Brady Bunch movies. Everything, essentially. And then the movie with the pins. And you've got to have your flair.
I know what it is, but I'm not helping.
And
I know what it is, too, and I'm not helping.
Someone stole my stapler. Ooh, you're going to have to come in.
Right? I need to see you on Saturday. What's the name of that one?
I love that movie.
Same.
What's the name of that?
Holy crap.
The name of that is...
It's like one of my top 10 movies.
Right. Oh, what's it called,
Ellie? Cannot figure it out.
And the title is...
Office Space!
Yes!
Oh, God. Oh, wow. Ooh, I taste toast. And that's what's happening.
Hey, Jensen Karp.
Hey, everybody.
Do you have any regrettable tattoos?
I have a lot. I have a bunch. I have Milhouse and Crossbones. I have another tattoo of Muhammad Ali. Mm-hmm. I have
you
Don Rickles.
These that you're telling us?
No, what I was going to say is, if I get a portrait, I have Don Rickles and I have Muhammad Ali, I wait until basically they're dead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So nothing can go wrong.
Yeah. Right. They can't slip out the N-word at the last minute or something. Like, I'm not stuck. Because if I was in high school and you let me get a tattoo, you know what I would have got?
What?
Woody Allen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we're lucky I didn't get one then because
yes, we are.
Right now I'd have a huge cover-up.
Right.
And I may have gotten Bill Cosby at that point.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
We don't know. It would be good if I had a Woody Allen tattoo and I was like, you know what, it's time to cover it up. Go with Bill Cosby.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Do you have any that if you could, and I know this isn't your segment, we're going to be talking about these tattoos next, but do you have any that if you could just blink your eyes and make one of them go away, you would?
No, luckily I don't. But I do have my first tattoos from when I was like 18 or 19. From my rap career, I do have H and K on my wrists. And at one point, I was like, I wish I could take them back. Now, I love them. They remind me of something I did as a child.
That's nice. Yeah. Full circle.
Also, the large Harvey Weinstein and Old English across my back, I regret.
Okay.
Those are the only ones. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Regrettable tattoos coming up on K-Rock. First, though, the reason Jensen is here is every Thursday at this time, we present for you Get Up On This.
Get up. Get on up. On this. Get up.
I hope this week's Get Up On This does not blow up someone's spot. That's my main goal, is not to ruin this person's business. But boy, do I have to explain it to you.
Okay, great.
If there's something that I love, it's angry nerds. In 2018, fandom has become to me one of the deadly sins.
You can't make a Ghostbusters movie with women!
These people are awful human beings. They need to be taken down a peg. I love things. I mean, I have Don Rickles tattooed on me. I mean, I love fandom, but the problem is that it can't be your only personality trait.
Agreed.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you've ruined so many things. You ruined Big Lebowski, which was very good, but now it's got to be like, oh, dude, I got a white Russian. It's got to be like all these stupid things, right? Mm-hmm. Or like Harry Potter. You have to like live it and learn. Like, it has to be your whole life. You even ruined pizza. How dare you? You've done so many terrible things. And what I found out about was a t-shirt company that is taking this head on.
Oh,
it's a t-shirt company called Slightly Wrong.
Slightly Wrong.
Just slightly wrong. And here's what they did. They took t-shirts with logos and sayings, you know, like quotes from movies.
Well known.
The biggest slogans and phrases and quotes. And they got them a little wrong. So here's the thing. You could wear a t-shirt of your favorite movie or someone else's favorite movie, which is what I recommend.
Yes.
And then don't point it out or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, wear a Godfather t-shirt. And on that Godfather t-shirt's a picture of Marlon Brando, but underneath it says, I'm going to make him an offer he can't say no to.
Oh,
and
no.
Don't say anything. Don't say anything about it. Just wear it. Just wear the t-shirt from Back to the Future that looks like the normal Back to the Future logo. You know, it's got the slogan, the Back to the Future up top in the perfect font, and then it has the flux capacitor, but underneath it says 1.21 gigabytes.
Incorrect.
That's not what it is.
Going to drive nerds crazy.
I mean, absolutely insane. Like, for example, another shirt they have, it's the Jurassic Park logo, and underneath it says, an adventure 65 years in the making.
Wrong.
See, it was longer than that. It was 65,000 years.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Mike Pence.
So wouldn't if somebody spotted that, wouldn't they just think that you just got some sort of a bootleg knockoff, right?
Well, then that's when you double down. When they bring that up to you, you go, what are you talking about? And they go, well, that's not the right slogan. You go, what? You're wrong.
Right.
Like, put it back on them because they're the terrible nerd. You're not the terrible nerd. Like, for example, if you're wearing one from The Shining and it's a picture of Jack Nicholson, we all know it. He's put the axe through the door. But then above it, it just says, here is John. they have that t-shirt. Some other ones that are my favorites. Dirty Dancing. Picture of Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey. But underneath it, it says, nobody puts a baby in the corner.
Oh, no.
Other quick ones. What are you saying, Willis?
How dare you?
Field of Dreams. There's Kevin Costner standing there with the Field of Dreams logo. And underneath it, it just says, if you build it, they will be there.
So it's not even necessarily wrong. It's just not the right wording.
Yeah, just a little bit off.
That's awesome.
Jaws, for example, you're going to need a big boat.
Where can people get these?
Okay, so here's what I'm going to tell you. They have not made it easy to get, and that's probably for a good reason.
Yeah.
Because these do fall into parody, but boy, would I not want to be part of the team that has to legally explain it to anyone. So what I'm going to suggest to you is that you go to Google and you type in slightly wrong t-shirts. And that's what you can do. Do you find a new one, Allie?
Yeah, it's the Ghostbusters, and it says, who are you going to telephone?
I could also have the Kevin and Bean account tweeted out, but it's not an easy site. It's through MySody, which is a certain sort of t-shirt site. But it's not an easy site to give you. But please go to Kevin and Bean's Twitter account. We'll put it out. They're great.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Can I do another one?
Yeah, sure. Please.
The name is James. James Bond.
I mean, some other ones that I loved, just because I can't stop doing these. There's X-Files. It totally looks normal. It's an X-Files t-shirt, but it just says, the truth is over there.
No!
I see Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
F you, I won't do what you ask me.
That's not the lyric. But also, for the record, that could be a lyric.
It certainly could, yes. I'm sorry. Also at the top, it says Rage About a Machine.
Oh, that's the killer. T2, I Will Return. Instead of I'll be back. I mean, they're all good, guys. You can go there.
Amazing.
And also, even if you're not going to buy a shirt, they're so funny. It's almost like its own comedy routine. Go check it out on the site.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
Thank you, Jensen.
Get up. Get on up. On this.
Get up.
Get on up. On this.
Get up.
Get on up. On this.
Get up.
Get on up. On this.
Congratulations to Andrew Bonner from Newport Beach. Got two passes to see Churches in the HD radio sound space on Monday.
That's going to be fun, you guys. All right, more tickets for you every hour coming up. As we were just mentioning moments ago, we want to talk about regrettable tattoos. Pete Davidson has been in the news lately because he gets a lot of tattoos. And, Allie, you were saying earlier, it's like he wakes up and looks out the window, and whatever's out there, that's what he gets on his body, right?
Yeah, or he has pancakes, and then he gets pancakes the next day. It's insane.
He has 43 tattoos so far, by the way, which is a lot, but it's not anywhere near as crazy as some people are about tattoos. But he...
By the way, I think some people can pull off that many tattoos.
I do, too.
I'm not sure he's that guy.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah.
He has 43 tattoos. Jeez. 7 of them are Harry Potter tattoos.
All right, I respect that.
I think he has 2 or 3 Ariana Grande tattoos, who's somebody who's known for 3 months. He has a giant portrait of the Grinch on his body.
Okay.
He tends to put a lot of things on of movies and books and things he likes. He has a Brave Little Toaster tattoo. He has several tattoos commemorating his firefighter father, who died in 9/11, including his badge number. He has, all right, here's, we're going to be asking you to call with your regrettable tattoos. Tattoos you look back on and go, ooh, wish I hadn't done that. 1-800-520-1067. What's your ruling on this? He has a pretty large on his arm tattoo of Hillary Clinton. Now,
it's a choice.
Right. Is that something you can look at now and go, she lost, you know, because maybe he got it because he was all hyped on the future of having this female president. And then when it didn't happen, though, is he still happy about the Hillary Clinton tattoo?
I mean,
is it just a constant reminder of how that didn't happen? And he's sad.
Even if he is now in 10 or 15 years, he won't care and he'll have to explain it to a lot of people.
Yeah, who's that old lady on your arm?
Right.
Right.
And it can't be that he just thought she was a great senator. Like,
it had to be tied in. Yeah.
Yeah.
He has a Pikachu.
Okay.
Which is, I don't know, an unusual thing for a grown man. Let me see.
I'm not sure you should be throwing stones at that guy.
He has a terrifying Mad Hatter tattoo. So apparently he's into Alice in Wonderland. He has a SpongeBob SquarePants tattoo. He has a tattoo of the all the planets.
Even Pluto?
Right? Well,
because then he has to laser that off, and now they're talking about putting it back on.
Right, what do you do?
Right.
It doesn't say, it says all the planets, and I can I can see Earth, and I can see Jupiter, and I can see Saturn. They don't, in this photo, they don't show them all.
Can you see Uranus?
Boom! I'm
all right, here's a tattoo. Tell me if this holds up. He tattooed, again, we're talking about Saturday Night Live's Pete Davidson. He tattooed his birth year on his body. He has a tattoo that says 1993.
Why? Because what?
Yes, exactly, why? Kevin. That's a fantastic point.
Why?
Why? I mean, is he in danger of not remembering what year he was born? Is he?
Is he one of those guys that just immediately forgets stuff and then he has to put a map on his body so he can figure out who he is and what he's done?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Kevin, you should have just gotten your credit card numbers tattooed on you. Then you wouldn't even have had to remember them.
Right up here, man.
Yeah, steel trap.
Right? He has a terrifying wolf on his arm. He has a wasp under one armpit. I mean, he has the words, "We Babies," on his tattoo that he got with Miley Cyrus. Apparently, they got matching tattoos after she hosted SNL.
This sounds like Bet's Gone Wrong to me.
Yeah.
Like they're at a bar and they're drinking, like, yeah, you know what? I'll get the year of my birth on there.
He has a pot leaf. He has a series of rubber duckies. He has a shout out to his stand up special called SMD when he was 22. He got that one on.
Okay.
He has a tiger. He has a shamrock. I mean, this list just goes on and on and on, doesn't it?
I feel like you've named 40 already.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He has a tattoo. He's from Staten Island. He has a tattoo of the Verrazano Bridge that you take to get into New York City.
Classy.
That may be one of those days where he just looked out the window and said, I'll get a tattoo. He has a tattoo called Soulmates. We're not sure how long he's had that one. He has Pure Imagination, which I guess is the reference to the Willy Wonka movie and song, right? And most recently, and the one that kind of got us started on this topic, is he and Ariana recently adopted a pig pet with the very unoriginal name of Piggy Smalls. And he has a tattoo of Piggy Smalls also.
He's all judgmental on the name.
So well, mad. it's kind of played out at this point.
As far as pig names go.
Right. So it's on his body right under his Winnie the Pooh tattoo and next to his own name. He has Davidson.
His own name.
Davidson is tattooed on his body as well. Yes. So that's what's going on Pete Davidson. If you wanted to picture him naked, now you can.
Now our question is, there's got to be a point in time, 5, 10, 15 years from now, where he looks at all of them and says, oh, this one I regret. I need to get taken off. Or more than one, I assume. So we're looking for your tattoos that you regret. You got a tattoo, but now you regret it. And you've either gotten it lasered off or you still have it.
All right. Why don't we start with, Sean, shall we? In Irvine, he's on line one, up first on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
I got a tattoo of a heart with my ex-girlfriend's initials on it on my right butt cheek.
Okay.
I also have a tattoo of a crescent moon, an evil-looking crescent moon on the same right butt cheek that goes around the heart, but I don't really regret that one. I got that one in prison.
I love our listeners.
And it wasn't a tattoo gun.
I love our listeners.
Homemade CD player motor. That with a guitar string needle.
Sweet. Nice. Those are the best tattoos.
Those are the best.
I mean, wouldn't you say, Sean, it's a good rule of thumb to not get a girlfriend or boyfriend tattooed?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Are you going to try and change that one or cover it up or get it lasered off? What?
Yeah, my wife right now, she does not like it.
I'll bet she doesn't.
Now, is this your prison wife or is this someone you met on the outside?
No, this is actually someone I met after. While I was in there. But yeah.
Okay. All right. Good for you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. We'll take your calls on regrettable tattoos next on camera.
Just had a Blink 182. Let's take one phone call. Let's make it be Jess. Hi, Jess. Or Jesse.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Talking about regrettable tattoos. You got one. Seemed like a great idea at the time, but now, not so much. What's yours?
I have a High Life in 3-inch large block letters across my chest.
Oh.
Wow.
That's just the size of it that cracks me up.
Yeah.
So I used to be a bartender in Long Beach, and we used to just drink all night at work. And then afterwards, we would go to our buddy's apartment and drink all night. And his roommate had just started tattooing.
Mm-hmm.
And bragged about all night how I would love High Life so much I would get it tattooed on me. And then the next morning I woke up to him setting up his tattoo gun right in front of me. So I was like, all right, let's do this.
Oh, man.
Do you still enjoy a Miller High Life?
Actually, I don't drink it all anymore. But
that's good.
You know,
that's particularly awkward then, I guess. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. All right, let's go to, we got another Sean on the line.
We're
going to play a song quickly. Yeah.
Sorry, we're doing that. I lost track of time there, sorry.
Okay.
All right, Sean, you hang on, and Matthew and Joshua and Marcy and Tyler and everybody else will take your calls on regrettable tattoos after Blink on K-Rock. Talking about regrettable tattoos in light of Pete Davidson getting his latest one, a pig he's had as a pet for 2 weeks. He already has tattooed on him. Former producer Lightning checked in, by the way, Kevin.
Oh, all right.
To remind us of two tattoos that we saw given on this show. One was the listener who got the Kevin and Bean tattoo.
Right.
Another was the listener. Do you remember when we were giving away World Series tickets?
I do.
In 2002 for the Angels.
I do.
And he got the Angels logo tattooed on his chin.
And if you remember, he was a Dodger fan, but he was doing it for his dad.
Yes.
On his chin.
Yes, on his chin.
Oh, no, sir.
Planning, I think, on just having a beard for the rest of his life. I think that was the goal.
He ended up with a goatee for a while, maybe a full beard, just to cover it up.
But he did that for his father because his father was an Angels fan, and he wanted him to be able to go to the World Series.
So let's be honest. That was the only time that they're going to go to the World Series. Am I right?
They haven't had a great run since then, but they could come back.
The rally monkey. If they bring the rally monkey back, it'll happen.
All right. We're taking your calls on regrettable tattoos. Now let's get to our friend Sean. He's in Riverside. He's on line 4 up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can call us, too, at 1-800-520-1067.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you. Your tattoo that you regret?
Oh, yeah. I have on my knuckles it says, ride me hard.
On your knuckles?
Now, is that a motorcycle reference or a lady reference?
Motorcycle reference.
Okay.
But it could go both ways.
like you. How do you feel about it now?
You know, it's obviously regrettable.
Okay. It's regrettable. All right. Okay.
All right, good chat.
All right, thanks very much. Kevin, have you ever thought about getting a tattoo?
No.
Really?
No, I changed my mind too much on stuff.
Yeah. Aren't there some things you know you're going to love? I mean, obviously family is one you can do. But yeah. I mean, like, you're never not going to love Rage Against the Machine.
Correct. That's true.
Can you imagine what a badass Kevin would be walking around with a Rage Against the Machine tattoo?
Forehead.
Right. I was going to get Ride Me Hard across my knuckles, but now I know it's not creative, so I'm out.
So forget that.
Yeah,
right?
I'm out.
All right. Let's go to Joshua Sherman Oaks up next, line 2 here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Joshua.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean.
Hi. What's up?
What's up, guys? So, my regrettable tattoo is I had gotten a massive warrior on the center of my stomach, just along my abdomen, sternum. And, you know, I swear it's so out of place. It almost looks like a bumper sticker on a Ferrari.
Why did you get it?
Well, originally it wasn't supposed to be there. It was, a verse I decided to get. And unfortunately, the tattoo artist, young girl at the time, was like, oh yeah, let's just put it right here in your stomach, it'll fit. And now I can't go to the beach, I can't take my shirt off around my kids. It's horrible.
Oh man. Now they have come a tremendous distance with tattoo removal. I mean, they, you know, it's a lot of, it costs money and it takes a lot of visits, but they do a pretty decent job of removing them now.
Yeah, I think it's just so thick. It's like, I mean, I didn't intend on it to be tribal, but, you know, unfortunately, it is what it is. So I have to live with it until further notice.
And it's a Bible verse as well?
Yeah, I managed to take all the words in a Bible verse and put it into a character. And, it didn't come out as planned.
Well, it sounds like that would have been great.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Joshua. Thank you for calling and sharing your pain, though. We appreciate it, sir. Let's go to Marcy. I wondered if we'd get any ladies on this topic, by the way. She's in Redondo Beach. She's on line 1. It mostly seems like a guy thing so far.
Hey, Marcy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Tattoos you regret?
When I was 20 years old, I got my boyfriend's name tattooed on my butt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And how long did that relationship last?
We are now married 25 years.
Look at that. Who expected that?
None of us saw that coming.
Wow. Yeah.
All that advice we give about not getting your boyfriend or girlfriend, you just proved us wrong.
But why do you regret it?
Because his name is Gary, and after 25 years, it looks like I tattooed gay on my butt.
Which is a very confusing message for people in the bedroom.
Yes.
Well, at least you and your husband Gay can laugh about it.
Yes, we can.
That's funny. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right. Let's go to Esther in La Puente. I don't know how she can regret this on line four. This sounds awesome.
Hey, Esther.
Hi.
Hi there.
Yeah, I got the word mom on. Okay, it's M on each butt cheek. So when I bent over, it said, well, and I kind of...
think about it, you guys.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on.
I would never regret that. That is the best.
I do.
No, why do you?
That's amazing.
Come on.
Hey, check this out.
1,000 times a day.
I want a poster of that. That's fantastic, Esther. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right, let's go to Harry in Fullerton. He's on line five. Chip, you don't get it, right? It's really funny.
It's her buttholes, the O.
See, because bends over, the M turns into a W. Come on, keep up, Chip.
Hey, Harry.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
If you can't top that last call, then hang up now.
I'm going to try. I have an anchor, camel, octopus, and a rainbow tattooed on my butt.
Wow, a lot of butt tattoos on the show today.
Why those four things?
I make bad decisions when I drink, and each of them stands for one of my buddies, and they all have their initials under them.
Now, did your buddies also get tattoos, or were you the only sucker?
I was the only sucker, unfortunately, yeah.
Oh, Harry.
And the worst thing was, with the rainbow, I had to do a little time in jail, and you really don't want a rainbow tattooed on your ass in jail.
Yeah.
Understood. All right, sir. Thank you for the call. All right. Do we have time for, can we do Tyler real quick? He's on line seven today.
All right. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you. What do you got? Tattoo that you regret?
Yeah, I have a butterfly tram stamp.
Okay. That is unusual for a man.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Well, how did that happen?
So I went out drinking one night with friends, and we were doing a whole bunch of shots, and then it kind of turned into like a truth or dare thing, and I guess someone took the dare a little too far, and I woke up the next morning with my ass hurting and the tattoo.
Well, when you wake up with your ass hurting, it could have been worse.
Yeah, exactly.
That's very true. Thank you.
One more follow-up text on the regrettable tattoos from Andrew, who is listening to us streaming in Jackson, Mississippi this morning.
Thank you, Andrew.
I have a penis riding an atomic bomb with the cowboy hat from Superbad. I said I would get it with my friends as a joke, but I am a man of my word.
I mean, that's pretty strong. I don't think I regret that.
That is a strong tattoo. RJ Bell in Las Vegas from pregame.com talks NFL Week 3 coming up. Allie's here with What's Happening.
So last night I'm watching the Dodgers game, and I decide, okay, I'm going to head to bed, but I'll turn the game on in my bedroom. Mm-hmm. So I decided brush the teeth,
right.
Head to the bedroom. Right. But on the walk from brushing my teeth to the bedroom, I checked Twitter and saw that this happened.
Drag to left center field. It's Puig's turn. A three-run pinch hit home run for Yasiel Puig.
So I didn't turn the game back on because obviously I'd jinx it. But the Dodgers wound up winning 5-2. They capped off a three-game sweep of the Rockies. They're 2.5 games up.
Pretty strong. You know, there's nothing sweeter than being a designated hitter and hitting a home run.
Yeah, that's just got to be the best
feeling.
Even if you're not a designated hitter, to stand at the baseball plate and hit a home run seems to me to be like one of the highlights of sports.
Oh, sure.
Any sport you could play, it would be great to be able to do that.
But, I mean, when that is your job, is to be... He was a pinch hitter, actually, last night, obviously. But I got that wrong. But when that's your job, they put you in because you're hot. They put you in because you can hit.
Right.
That's the only job you have that night. You're not playing, right? Is to hit a ball.
Yeah.
And when you do... Oh, that's got to be sweet.
A three-run?
Yeah.
Pretty sweet. I think the Dodgers have seven players this year who have 20 or more home runs, which may never have happened in the franchise before. So they got a lot of weapons, man. It's looking real good. Sorry, Beer Mugs Mom. You may have to enjoy them going all the way this year.
Yeah, she probably turned the game off, right?
Probably did.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah. Well, here's why I'm bringing it up, not just because it was an amazing night, but Yasiel Puig really needs to do something about his home security.
Uh-oh.
He was burglarized yet again. This would make it the fourth time he's been hit. This happened on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. One of the Dodgers' assistants got a security alert on his phone, which then showed three men leaving Puig's property. So he has a security camera set up that captures motion, and it automatically sends a signal to a cell phone, which one of the assistants had. So the associates saw the footage, called 911. By that time, the guys had fled.
Can be left to steal at his house after four robberies?
I know. Yeah, four times. He initially got hit in the spring. He was away for spring training. Then again during the World Series last year, and a third time just last month, and then on Tuesday.
Wow.
Which means they obviously know the Dodgers schedule.
Sure, it's not difficult to find out.
Not hard to Google Dodgers spring training, Dodgers regular season, Dodgers World Series. So, bad. Just bad. What do you do at that point?
I don't know, because it seems like he has enough money that he could get the best security, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. I don't know.
If they're going to break in and alarm's going to go off, you still have time to get something and get out of there, I would think.
I mean, maybe no one wants to pay for this, but maybe it's time to have an armed guard at his house.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, that would suck, but four times sucks.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Don't either.
You know what I like, though? This just came across my desk, and let me tell you, I couldn't be more excited about something I had no idea about 5 minutes ago.
Okay.
It is called Will Ferrell's Best Night of Your Life. Yes, it is happening at the Greek Theater on October 6th. It's going to be comedy. It's going to be music. Let me tell you about the music.
Okay.
His doppelganger, Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, is going to lead a one-off supergroup called, and it's catchy, Chad Smith's Super Mega Funktastic Jam Rock All-Stars.
Love it.
He's going to have a pretty good singer, Coldplay's Chris Martin.
Okay.
Pearl Jam guitarist Mike McCready.
Okay.
Chili Peppers guitarist Josh Klinghoffer. Mm-hmm. And Guns N' Roses bassist Duff McKagan.
That sounds pretty strong.
Okay, so then you think, all right, obviously Chad Smith's Super Mega Funktastic Jam Rock All-Stars band is going to be the highlight of the night, right? They can't really bring it much more than that.
Right.
What if I told you some of the comedians who have been confirmed? Jerry Seinfeld. What? Jimmy Kimmel. Conan O'Brien, Samantha Bee, Jim Jeffries, Kumail Nanjiani, and much more.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
It does blow my mind.
That's crazy.
Are they raising money for something?
Here's to me the best part of this whole thing.
This isn't for his dumb Swedish school, is it?
All proceeds will benefit Cancer for College,
okay, good.
Which provides college scholarships to low-income, high-achieving cancer survivors. I mean, Will.
Yeah.
Listen, I said I love John C. Reilly the most this morning. I'm going other stepbrother now. This is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's pretty strong.
Again, it's called Will Ferrell's Best Night of Your Life at the Greek Theater on October 6th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. I'm buying tickets.
Sounds cool.
I am going to that.
That's a good show.
Okay. Holy crap. Looks amazing. Chris Martin.
Yeah, crazy.
Singing in an all-star band. Will's got to come out and play the cowbell, right?
I would assume so,
I hope so, yeah.
Come on.
And then that line of comedians as well.
It's
crazy.
It's insane. It's insane.
Sounds great.
Kudos, Will. Well done. Will done. I'm sorry. Some birthdays for you. Ben Shepherd, bassist from Soundgarden. John Bernthal, actor from The Punisher, Walking Dead. George R.R. Martin from, I just said Martin.
You did.
Author of Game of Thrones. And Gary Cole, Veep, Entourage, Brady Bunch movies, Office Space. But how would I know him, Kevin?
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Now, you're a guy who I don't know your name.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That was right after a very long and flowery introduction of his many credits that Kevin has seen and enjoyed, and his name.
Yeah.
So at that point, the one thing you should know is his name.
Yeah, I think what I was trying to say is I see you in a lot of stuff that I love.
Right.
But your name doesn't immediately come to my mind.
Sure.
What a complimentary way to start the interview.
I don't feel like that went well.
Let me hear it again.
I think we've heard it.
Let me hear it
one
more time.
I think we've heard it.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Now, you're a guy who, I don't know your name.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind? That just happened.
You are a goddamn treasure.
You are captivating.
He is captivating. That's what's happening.
Wait till I tell you who in Las Vegas is now favored to win the Super Bowl this season. Let's get into that and
Seattle?
More with... Not for a long, long time, my friend. Let's get into that and so much more with our friend RJ Bell. Hit it, Steve.
'Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
RJ is the founder of Pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. That is a big deal. He joins us every week from Las Vegas to talk about the weekend ahead, and starting with the Thursday night football game. How are you, RJ?
Excellent, excellent. And we do have a rare pick on the Thursday game tonight.
All right. Okay, we're going to get to that in a second, but I kind of teased. Who is at the top of the leaderboard right now for Super Bowl odds?
The Seattle Seahawks. Oh, wait. No. The L.A. Rams right now favored to win the Super Bowl. 6-1, Patriots 7-1, and no other team in single digits. So this Rams team certainly surging, and Vegas is believing.
It is so interesting what you can start to glean. And, of course, it's easy to be wrong. It's a long season. But after two games, you look at what the Rams have done versus what the Patriots have done. And I guess I see where they're coming from. So keep your fingers crossed that holds.
I mean, I was at the Arizona and the Rams game. And I was trying to figure out, is Arizona just that bad? Or are the Rams really that good? Or both? And it turns out the Rams pretty much have no weakness.
No, I agree with you there. The Rams are mighty good.
Yes.
Now, Arizona is mighty bad.
We've got
them the second worst team, only the Bills.
All right, take it easy.
One thing about the Rams, though, and this will be fascinating for the L.A. fans to watch, which is they sort of have an all-star team. It's like they had extra money to spend because Jared Goff is on his rookie contract, so they got a quarterback for a reasonable price so they can spend on others. And what they did was they got, and I'm going to say this with quotes, some, let's say, questionable character players. Whereas historically they've had trouble with teams and teammates, but now it's almost like one of those movies where all the gunslingers come together to defend a town. They're all in L.A. If they can stay on the same page, this team should be the Rams, the Super Bowl favorites.
RJ Bell has a winning record again from last week. He was 2-1. Ironically, the game he missed was the Seahawks game. He had him +3.5 over the Bears. That did not work out. But winning season so far at 67%, 4-2. Let's find out what this week looks like with the big dog game to start us, RJ. 49ers at Kansas City.
We're taking the 49ers getting 6.5 points. Now listen, Kansas City's got a new quarterback, Mahomes. He is a sensation and has a huge future, no doubt about it. No quarterback, though, has ever played better in the first two games of a season. Think about that.
Wow.
And that's unlikely to continue. This price on this game is based on that performance, but it's only two games. KC has the best offense in the NFL, but they have the worst defense in the NFL. KC's undefeated. They're overrated, though. 49ers, on the other hand, they're only 1-1. But actually, if you look at the scoreboard, they played much better in both the games than the scoreboard indicates. The quarterback for the 49ers, Jimmy G, has as much talent as Mahomes and just the brightest future. He just hasn't played the same this year.
Right.
Thus, he's not getting the attention. You add it up, we get value 49ers. +6.5 points.
That is a fun matchup. All right, you're going back to the Seahawks for your best bet. They've got the Dallas Cowboys coming to town for their home opener. What say you, RJ?
We're taking the Seahawks again here. No one has ever said I'm not stubborn. We lost last week. We're going back. They're only laying 1.5 points. And listen, Seattle's not near as good as they've been in recent years. But the narrative is so negative right now. Plus, they started 0-2. Public perception is at a low point. We're buying low here. Remember, in stocks, that's a good thing. But, you know, even in Seattle's best years, they weren't very good on the road. The first two games for Seattle were on the road. Now they're at home. It's against the Cowboys. You know that stadium is going to be rocking. Crowd noise really matters. And since we're only laying 1.5 points, pretty much we just got to win that home game. Best bet of the week, Seattle, -1.5.
Seahawks are going to be the team responsible for blowing your winning record on the Kevin DeBeach Show, by the way. All right, you mentioned at the top you had a Thursday night pick. The Browns, who have had another frustrating season, but at least they didn't lose both this year so far, have the New York Jets come into town.
You know, I saw at the bottom of the screen after week one, it said the Browns were 0-1-1. Best start. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was 0-0-1. Best start since 2004. I mean, can you believe that? This team, the Browns this season, you said it, 0 wins. Last season, 0 wins. And now they're favored in this game by 3 points against the Jets. Literally, in the last 37 games, the Browns have been favored twice. So what does it mean? It means one.
It means they're terrible, RJ. That's what it means.
Yes, that's the obvious part. I'm going to give you the non-obvious part, though.
Okay.
They're terrible, but it means you know they're going to be super motivated in a game they think they can win because they're now favored. On the other hand, the Jets are mighty. I think there's more optimism than usual with the Jets because of Sam Darnold, USC product. But it's a rookie quarterback on a short week. Now think about that. They got to travel to Cleveland. The game's Thursday. When you have a rookie, he needs extra time to prepare. When it's a short week, rookies on the road really, really struggle. A quarterback, we're taking the Browns -3 as our big game tonight.
All right. Recapping, 49ers +6.5 at KC, Seattle -1.5 hosting the Dallas Cowboys, and the Browns -3 hosting the New York Jets. By the way, for all the rest of the games plus college football, don't miss RJ Bell's Dream Preview podcast, available wherever you get yours. Pregame.com is the site you want to go to. And real quick before we let you go, RJ, how was your first week on Fox Sports Radio? I mean, you're running with the Rich Eisens and the Dan Patricks of the world now. Did it go okay?
You know, I got to be honest, we're so excited about it. It's the first sports betting show ever on a major national radio network, and we're so excited. I know you guys did a retweet, and I so appreciate that, and we're just going to try to, hey, listen, we deliver good content is the goal, and I'm going to try my very best.
All right. Good content is the goal? We need to write that down.
We have been doing it wrong for a long time, Kevin.
Right?
I'm never going to make the Radio Hall of Fame, though, like some people.
RJ, congratulations on the new show. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, man. All right. We have a Wheel of Crap we're giving away. Mm-hmm. This is, we're moving out of this building after tomorrow.
Yes. This is literally stuff that has been in the office of the Kevin DeBeach Show in some cases for years. And I got to tell you, some of it's pretty good stuff.
Some of it
is
pretty good stuff.
We're calling it crap, but some of it is stuff you might want to own.
Correct. Some of it you don't necessarily want.
No.
But we have all of it on a wheel, and we're going to spin the wheel of crap, and then you'll get whatever it lands on if you call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Call now. Get crap next.
Don't give me no back talk, sucker. Don't make me mad.
That's Mr. T in your pocket.
Shut up, fool.
I'm sorry, Mr. T. And it's autographed, by the way.
Right?
You know, the great late comedian George Carlin used to have a bit about the reason why we keep needing to get bigger and bigger houses is because we need a place for our stuff.
That's too much crap.
And every time you move, you realize that you don't use, I don't know how it is with you guys. 80% of the stuff that's in your house you never use.
Yeah, it's pretty much in storage the whole time.
Right.
Yeah.
But you still have it. And that's what's been going on here at K-Rock. We've been in this building for almost 20 years, and they're tearing it down, and we have to move, and we're cleaning out the office. And some of this stuff, we're just not going to move to the new building. So we're giving it away. It's something that we're calling the Wheel of Crap.
Wheel of Crap.
So you don't have to do anything. You don't have to play a game. There's no contest. There's no quiz. You just get on the line. We spin the wheel. We give you stuff. Now, yesterday, we gave away Beer Mug's entire Britney Spears outfit from his April Fool's Just March Fatness performance.
Mm-hmm. That's something you don't want.
I thought that was a pretty hot item.
Sure.
Somebody grabbed a Shark Week business card holder yesterday. We had an office jar of pennies. I mean, we're really moving stuff here. We're dealing right now.
Today on the wheel, we have a Vuvuzela from the World Cup 2010. Mm-hmm. We have an autographed Mr. T in your pocket.
That's the best item we've got, by the way.
We have Beer Mug's leftover Veet back waxing strips from Vegas. Mm-hmm. We have a surprise grab bag of T-shirts. Which two people won yesterday. We have the Kevin and Bean office ugly blue denim couch.
Okay.
Listen to me closely.
Oh, dear.
You don't want it.
Now, even if I've seen photos of, like, Sarah Shahi taking a nap on it before she comes on our show.
You don't want it.
Because whatever Beer Mug's done
correct.
Will is on top of whatever Sarah Shahi's done.
We've got a bag of rolling papers. Oh. We have an Arizona Cardinals Mardi Gras bead.
Oh,
hey, wait a
set
minute.
Of beads, right?
That was a gift from me to you.
Yeah, but that's when the Cardinals were good. I'm not wearing it now.
I said everybody Mardi Gras beads for their favorite teams. That was a gift for
that
you.
That was
you're
a
giving
very
it away.
Sweet gift. Yes, I am.
Oh, my God.
Dave, the King of Mexico's former Clippers bobblehead collection. So he's got CP3, he's got Jamal Crawford, he's got two DeAndre Jordans, and one with DJ Khaled. So basically,
oh,
he's got all of those, and that's one package.
Okay.
Got a gift bag from the Kevin and Bean Singles Party in Vegas, including sunscreen, a bottle of water, condoms, a K-Rock tank top, K-Rock Kevin and Bean shot glass, and a pack of Pedialyte.
Okay. Nice.
We have a pan flute.
Sure.
Which some of us are good at.
If you play the pan flute and I play the ukulele, we got ourselves a band.
And a scary clown that I would like to keep, but Christine wants to get away with give away. It's the Poltergeist remake. Clown.
Well, it's kind of
awesome.
Creepy.
It's awesome is what you mean.
All right, let's play Wheel of Crap.
All right.
Wheel of Crap.
Brenda, good morning.
Good morning.
All right.
How often do you get to wake up and just make a phone call and get free stuff?
Never.
That you may not want.
All right, come on, Mr. T in your pocket.
Don't land on couch.
Rolling papers.
Dave's former Clippers bobblehead set.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yay.
Congratulations.
It sounds like she wants it as much as we do. I love that none of them are on the team anymore. I love that too.
Ryan in Calabasas. Good morning.
Good morning, party people.
Welcome to the
Wheel of Crap.
You ready?
Absolutely.
Come on, Vuvuzela.
And it is the scary clown that I didn't want to give away.
Ryan, thank God. Yay! Get it out of here.
I think Christine is afraid of that clown.
She's very afraid of it.
Terrifying.
It's awesomely terrifying.
No, I stand
you guys
with Christine.
Are the worst.
Wheel of Crap.
Michelle in Rancho Cucamonga. Good morning.
Hello? Rancho Palo Verde.
What? What?
Rancho Palo Verde.
Oh, she's saying where she's from.
Oh, I see.
Gotcha.
All good. Gotcha.
You were too white on the phone. Yeah,
that's
what was happening. All right, let's spin the wheel for Michelle.
All right. Let's see what we get. I want her to get the couch now because she's...
Give her the cholera.
A bag of rolling papers.
Oh.
Yay!
Yay!
All right.
You mean rolling papers.
All right, let's go to Valente. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning.
Welcome to the...
Wheel of Crap.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, good luck.
All right, I'm feeling the pan flute here for Valente, I think.
And it is, it's a blank one. It's a blank one because it's something else that we gave away already.
Okay. Oh, so spin again.
Yep. Hope it lands on that blank one again. The pan flute!
Oh, you're kidding!
Did you just say that, Bean?
Yes.
I did.
Oh, that's funny.
Are we cheating?
No, I can't even see the wheel.
All right.
Valente,
you guys have magnets on them.
You are now a pan flute player. Congratulations. Thank you.
He's a pan flute owner.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. All right. We got time for just a couple of more things. If you're just joining us, we're giving away stuff. K-Rock has to move. They're tearing the building down, so we're cleaning out the office. We're giving away stuff to our listeners for free.
Let's go to the Brian from Whittier. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. Welcome to the
Wheel of Crap.
See what you get.
Come on, Arizona Cardinals, Mardi Gras beats.
spin again.
All right.
Those are not as helpful. The gift bag from Kevin and Bean Vegas Singles Party.
Oh, okay. All right. How's that sound, Brian? Free condoms for you this morning.
Hey, terrific. Why not?
Okay. All right. Why not?
He's terrific.
All right. One more?
One more. Let's make it Tony and Fullerton. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How you guys doing, brother?
We are good. Thank you.
I just want to remind you that the couch from the Kevin and Bean office that has had a lot of celebrity butts on it is still on the wheel. You could win it if you're lucky.
All right. Good luck.
That could make a great segment on my man cave, man.
Absolutely, man.
Hell yeah. That happens then if you want it.
It's had a lot of man caves on it.
It certainly has.
Spin again.
Okay. The tension.
Right? And you get the Vuvuzela from the 2010 World Cup.
Woo!
You're going to be very popular with your neighbors.
Yep, they're going to love it.
All right. Thank you so much for listening, Tony. We really appreciate it. Listen, we've still got some stuff left over and some new stuff to add. One more day of the Wheel of Crap is going to be tomorrow. That couch is still up for grabs, you guys.
Right?
So good luck.
Wheel of Crap.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
The band is called Churches. They are awesome, and you're going to see them up close and personal in the HD Radio Sound Space here at K-Rock. We got tickets for you again next hour, hosted by our friend Nicole Alvarez. You can also go over to krock.com for another chance to win. Hey, Allie, what's happening?
Hey, Bean. Well, we already knew that Jordan Peele was an executive producer on the new-look Twilight Zone that's coming.
Right, yeah.
Well, guess what?
What?
We have just found out that he will serve as host and narrator as well.
Awesome.
He's the new Rod Serling.
That's awesome.
Yes. This is all coming out on CBS's All Access's upcoming revival of the classic sci-fi horror anthology, The Twilight Zone. It's slated for a 2019 debut.
Now, let me ask, because no one in the world loves Twilight Zone more than Dave. Mm-hmm. It's his favorite TV show of all time.
Yes.
Because of that, mm-hmm. is he excited that the Twilight Zone is coming back? Or does he consider that it is it's heresy that somebody is trying to remake his favorite show of all time?
I think he's excited because I think he likes Jordan?
Is that Jordan Peele, yeah.
I think he likes him, so I think he's excited.
Okay, so he'll allow it.
Yeah, I can tell you because he walked in here with a boner handing me the story. So, he is thrilled.
I noticed he wasn't using his hands to give you that story.
It was odd.
I wasn't sure how that happened.
Yeah. I'm like, just drop it, Dave. I don't want to reach for it. It was odd. No, he's been excited from the start. So,
okay.
That's exciting news.
Yeah, I'll look forward to that as well.
All right. How about some new Imagine Dragons?
Sure.
They have a new song called Zero, and it's been created for Disney's second film in the Wreck-It Ralph franchise, Ralph Breaks the Internet, and it came out yesterday, and it's going to play during the ending credits of the movie, but here's a little sneak peek.
Hello, hello, let me tell you what it's like to be a zero, zero, let me show you what it's like to always feel, feel, like I'm empty and there's nothing really real, real, I'm looking for a way out. Hello, hello, let me tell you what it's like to be a zero, zero, let me show you what it's like to never feel, feel, like I'm good enough for anything that's real, real, I'm looking for a way out.
That's pretty catchy, you guys.
That's very Imagine Dragon-y as well. They love a song you can clap to.
They do.
Yes. I like it. I like it a lot. Hey, if you're KISS and you want to announce your end of the road world tour, you announce it at the most rock and roll place that you can even imagine. The place that when you think of rock and roll, you're like, that makes perfect sense. This means everything to me.
So, the Rainbow Grill, the Sunset
Rainbow Bar and Grill would be great, yeah, right? Okay. Right next to Lemmy's Stool. Could do it there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's pretty metal.
Absolutely.
Red Rocks is a legendary place, but I don't know that it's metal.
It's not so much metal.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. You can do like a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, there you go. They are members. Sure.
Makes sense.
Stonehenge. Lots of rocks.
Do a literal rocks.
There.
Okay.
Or you could do what Kiss did last night when they announced the End of the Road World Tour on NBC's broadcast of America's Got Talent.
Yay!
I mean...
That's a strange choice.
It is odd. They also performed their 1976 hit, Detroit Rock City, because...
I'm sorry, I watched it, but I fell asleep.
I'm sorry. Yeah, apparently they opened the show. I believe we could go to a member of the Kiss Army for more information.
They sure did. That's how the broadcast opened. It was them on stage playing the song, and then during the instrumental part of the song, they brought out, I guess, Tyra Banks is hosting that show now?
Yeah.
Yes,
I had no idea.
Yeah, she's not good.
And then the judges came out during the song and walked right past them on the stage. And I was thinking,
as they're performing.
Yes, as they're playing. I'm thinking, hey, playing here.
Right? A little respect.
Doing something.
Yeah. So they just walked on by them and they did the song. And I guess interviewed later in the show, that's when they announced the details of this tour. And I know, Kevin, you've mocked because they have toured a lot since they got back together in 2020.
Oh, it's always the final tour, man. But you're never going to get a chance to see us again.
I don't know. Has that been the case with Kiss? Have they announced them as final tours? Are they one of the bands that has done that? I'm not sure they have.
I'm not sure if they have.
I mean, it's
certainly
common. I
think they're one of them that at least maybe called it the final tour or something. Yeah, I think they did.
Okay.
Well, they have been together since 1972. They're not getting any younger. And although with the face paint, I do feel like they could just start replacing members like Menudo. Like they could be
no one would know.
Yeah, there'd just be new guys under the makeup.
That's awful.
But they claim that they're going out big. It's going to be their biggest tour ever, so we'll see what they bring.
All right.
You've never seen a Kiss show, right, guys?
I haven't.
Only at Weenie Roast.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It wasn't a full Kiss show.
Yeah, that was just half a dozen songs or something. But I mean, it really is a spectacular with the vomiting the blood and the fire and the fireworks. And I mean, there's so much stuff that goes on.
Look, one of the funniest things I've ever seen was when the Kings played outdoors at Dodger Stadium. Mm-hmm. And Kiss was the musical act.
Yes.
And so they were playing at in between periods. And all of a sudden, for some reason, the organ just took over. So they were playing like Detroit Rock City. And then the organ goes, bump, 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 bump. I was like, this is a nightmare. What's happening?
I remember the Less Than Zero soundtrack. Do you remember that soundtrack? One of the best ones ever.
I'm going back to Cali. Cali, right?
Yep.
Keep going.
Yep.
That had Hazy Shade of Winter by the Bangles on
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
A Fishbone song was on there.
Slayer. Fishbone, really?
I think so.
Slayer.
Now, why do you bring that up having to do with Kiss?
I bring it up because I remember playing that cassette and my parents going, what is this crap? And I was like,
it's devil's music.
It's a song called Rock and Roll All Night. And they're like, who's doing it? And I said, Poison. And my parents were very upset.
Outraged.
That I was listening to Poison's cover of Rock and Roll All Night. So.
Oh, they were upset that you weren't listening to the original?
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
They were very upset.
That's great.
Yeah, good times, you guys.
Hey, don't get me wrong, all right? I like to rock and roll all night. Part of every day.
Party every day. Rock and roll all night. Party every day.
I like to rock and roll part of every day.
Party every day.
I usually have errands. I can rock and roll for like 1 to 3.
I love it so much. And just real quick, Dave Grohl is going to be a guest on the 50th anniversary season of Sesame Street. He's going to be performing a song with Elmo and Big Bird. And Dave Grohl, I believe we'll be here tomorrow.
Correct. Yes.
Right?
With Taylor Hawkins. Yes, they're coming in to talk about Cal Jam.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to talk to him about Elmo and Big Bird and Cal Jam as well. Some birthdays for you. Ben Shepherd, the bassist from Soundgarden. Jorn. John Bernthal. What's happening?
I'm not positive what's happening.
George R.R. Martin. Game of Thrones.
Sure.
And Gary Cole, Veep, Entourage, Brady Bunch movies, The Ring 2. But, of course, Office Space. And that's what's happening.
Why is that song still so good, by the way?
Can't answer that, but it is.
That's a good point. There is no answer for that. Hey, as Allie mentioned a moment ago, some of the Foo Fighters, Dave and Taylor, are going to be joining us in studio tomorrow. They will be our last ever guests here in the old K-Rock building before the thing gets blowed up. Dr. Drew, I understand you're feeling sentimental about leaving this building on Venice?
I am. It's so weird. I mean, I was there for years and years. You got to understand, I've been in K-Rock since it was above a accounting office in Pasadena.
Right.
Uh-huh. Then it moved to Burbank,
right,
above Dalt's Restaurant, if you remember that.
Sure.
And then me and Adam moved out to Westwood One, which is down the street from you guys. Now that's a big theater, movie theater. And then we came back to this building you're in now and was there for a decade or something.
Yeah.
Decade and a half.
I know. Crazy. You're old as F, Drew. That's what this means. Every place you ever worked is gone.
I'll be seeing you later, guys.
Drew, in the early days, though, after you were in that initial Pasadena place you mentioned, didn't you literally broadcast out of a hotel for a while because you had no studio anywhere?
No, we went from church to hotel to across the street, the place I got to know.
Oh, gotcha.
I was at a real studio, first-time studio, yeah.
When that K-Rock documentary comes out, and I know Adam's been working real hard on it, oh, my God, I think people are going to love it, don't you?
I agree. It's really a very interesting history. And the little K-Rock, you know, the little station that could, affected the whole country. It was crazy time.
And the station started on AM back in 1972. That's something a lot of people don't know about. But we digress. We get off topic a little bit. We're actually delighted to have you on, as we always are, Dr. Drew, but we wanted to revisit something we talked to you earlier in the year because now, according to news reports, these e-cigarettes, especially the Juul, the teen vaping, has become an actual epidemic. And the company is being held up by the FDA and saying, look, you got to quit marketing this thing to kids because it's getting way out of hand. What's the background on this story?
Well, the idea, again, we're talking about vaping, of course, and one of the ideas behind vaping was that it was a way to get people off of cigarettes, and it is still a viable way to do that. I've seen a lot of people get way down on their nicotine use and, in fact, off tobacco. And let's remind ourselves, tobacco is the problem, not nicotine. Nicotine is an essentially harmless chemical, much like caffeine. But tobacco, nicotine does not hurt anybody.
Didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Wow.
Yeah, nicotine is harmless. It's not great for the adolescent brain. That's what they're all up in arms about. Because if you're exposed to nicotine at young age, like particularly earlier in adolescence, it probably can, with the thinking is it permanently alters your brain. And some of that alteration has you forever craving nicotine. There are other things that people are concerned about in terms of the reward system, and it's a legitimate concern. So adolescent vaping is a different issue than adult vaping. Adult vaping, I'm an enthusiast for. I think it's a great thing. I have people addicted to the Nicorette gum, no problem. If they want to get addicted to vaping nicotine, no problem. Not super cool on the flavored stuff. We're not sure what that's doing to our lungs. But it's the adolescent brain that's the issue. And adolescents now decide that vaping is cool, and they're doing it at extraordinary rates.
And part of the complaint has been just like in the days of, hey, you can't use cartoon characters to advertise cigarettes because it makes them appealing to kids. They want to crack down on some of these flavors like Slurpee flavors and bubblegum flavors and things like that, right?
Yeah, I think the flavoring generally is a terrible idea. I mean, if they want to make it sort of palatable, fine. But really by going for, you know, cotton candy flavors, that's ridiculous, number one. And number two, if you go on like on the Juul website, I actually admire the way they do it. They have a thing that comes up front there about information about vaping for adolescents. And I mean, to me, the website looked very responsible. So it's not as though they're actively marketing to adolescents. In fact, quite the contrary. But the flavoring issue, they got to get rid of that.
What's in the Juul that's not tobacco? Like, what's the delivery system for the nicotine?
It's simply steam, as far as I understand. It's of course a chemical, and people are worried that those chemicals might have some long-term effect that we haven't yet identified. But so far, it does not look bad. It looks like a good alternative to tobacco. And again, I can't emphasize enough, tobacco is the problem, not nicotine. If you are addicted to tobacco, it's because of the nicotine. Get on some other nicotine system, because the nicotine will never harm you.
Wow, we have really learned something here today.
No idea.
This is crazy. Yeah. All right, so here's the simple question that I have for you that I really just don't understand. don't you have to be 18 to buy a Juul just like you do to buy cigarettes?
Yes, I think so, but look at the world we live in where you can order stuff online and
yeah.
You know what I mean? It just comes to you. Who the hell knows? And so, you know, that sort of horse is out of the barn. And it is a legit, again, let's emphasize, it's a legitimate problem how pervasive vaping is in adolescent. One of the things that bothers me is somebody decided vaping is bad. And we don't really even know that yet. Let's be super clear. Tobacco is bad. Tobacco is bad. And if kids are vaping as opposed to smoking, okay, that's not necessarily bad. It's not necessarily good. But the fear is that they'll go from vaping to tobacco. That's another fear that's out there, and that is not good.
I don't know. It sounds like you work for Big Vape,
right?
They're using it for cannabis delivery too.
Oh yeah. Now I know why you dig it.
Yeah. So Drew, we'll let you go in a second here, but one of the articles that I saw, they said that the general opinion among the high school students is that smoking is not cool. They don't look at people smoking and go, "Oh, that's cool. I want to do that." But vaping is cool, so that's why they're into it. So
that's exactly right. That's the modern version of smoking. And I, you know, all things being equal, I think we should support the FDA in their attempt to curtail it in adolescents. But don't confuse that with adult use. It's very
different. Okay. All right, good. Well, we have all learned something here today. As always, Dr. Drew is the smartest man on the phone and in the room. You can listen to him weekdays, 790 KABC, Monday through Friday from noon till 3. The Dr. Drew podcast and live appearances are at his website, drdrew.com. By the way, how was Ken Starr, by the way? Was that fascinating, Drew?
That was fascinating. I didn't realize what an academic pedigree the guy had. And
was he the prosecutor for the Clintons?
Yes,
he was.
Okay.
And I got to interview him at KBC, and he was he didn't come out and say that we should never pursue impeachment. He was saying what he essentially was saying was impeachment is hell.
It is. It's terrible.
And the country pays a big price for it. And we have to really think hard about it if we ever do it again.
It's like divorce. I mean, you are broken in a lot of ways if you go through a divorce and an impeachment. All right. I'm sorry. I just had to ask because I don't know when I'll talk to you again. And get the physician in the comfort of your own home with the Heal app at the App Store or Google Play. Dr. Drew, have a great week. Thank you, sir. We'll do it again next time.
Thanks, guys.
She's Kerosene from The Interrupters on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
And if you like that song, by the way, you'll like that band a lot. You'll like their album a lot.
Agreed.
Check them out for sure. Allie's here with our final look at what's happening. And, as I understand, free stuff.
Yeah. I have got a pair of weekend passes to the Adult Swim Festival at The Row in downtown L.A., October 6th and 7th. If you don't know what this is, just a few of these names. Run the Jewels, Flying Lotus, Hannibal Buress, the Rick and Morty musical Rickspirience, 30-plus music acts, comedic performances, all sorts of stuff. It's going to be a blast. Give a call right now, 1-800-520-1067, and caller 10. You are going to get a pair of those weekend passes to the Adult Swim Festival.
Bong, bong.
Bong, bong, indeed. You guys, last hour we heard new music from Imagine Dragons.
Right.
How about Weezer releasing a new standalone single?
All right.
I love that.
Yes. It's a song from the soundtrack of the upcoming Brendan Walter film, Spell, and it's called California Snow. If you see a tear fall, don't worry about me.
That's pretty damn good.
All right. Yeah.
Weezer is a band that I've always loved.
Say.
They have had ups and downs, but they seem to be operating at peak magic right now.
Their downs have never been terrible, though.
Right, no. Exactly.
You know, they're at least good, and most of the time, they're great.
Yeah.
So excited with all the stuff. And they're so prolific, too. They don't go away for years at a time, man. They keep churning.
They made up that song about Africa.
So that was cool.
That was theirs.
That was theirs for sure.
Right.
Weezer 2020, I think, is what we're all saying.
Sure.
Absolutely. So we've got some James Bond news, you guys. About a month ago, we found out that Danny Boyle was being ousted. He's no longer going to direct the new James Bond film. Mm-hmm. He was having some creative differences with the peeps over there. So, in a statement posted on Twitter, they have confirmed the new director...
It's a little
pretty loud. Okay. Yeah. Of the James Bond 25th big screen outing. Yep. That director will be... Really?
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
A little slow. That director has been named, and his name is...
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Cary Fukunaga.
Oh,
you
terrific.
Well,
what?
You might not recognize Cary's name, but you might recognize some of his early work.
Okay.
He came to huge acclaim for directing the first series of True Detective.
All right.
Was so good.
That was such a good one. And then in 2015, he helmed the acclaimed Beasts of No Nation.
All right. Idris Elba.
Yes,
that
absolutely.
That was also very good. That was intense.
Yeah, he was a sadistic warlord, right?
Right.
Amazing. And then most recently, he directed Netflix's dark comedy Maniac, which comes out tomorrow. That's the one you're seeing billboards all over L.A. It's
that
Jonah Hill and
amazing.
Emma Stone. Yeah, so this guy,
all right.
He has a pretty good track record, is all I'm saying. So they announced that on Twitter, and they also confirmed that the film's release date has been pushed back to February 2020.
Boo!
I know, yeah. It was originally a little earlier, but that's okay. We'll be all right. You know how I am with my Bond movies. Like I need them at least once a year.
Right. Can't get enough.
Can't get enough.
How many have you seen now? Three?
Two. Yeah,
okay.
I saw Casino Royale and I saw Goldfinger.
So you're almost done.
Yeah. Almost done.
Yeah. Wow.
And who would have thought I would have loved Goldfinger?
Right?
That movie was so janky and campy and amazing.
Yep.
Yeah, I feel like I need to go back and do all of the...
We should have told you about...
You should have told me James Bond was good, first
us.
Of all. It's totally on you.
Yeah, my bad.
If anyone would have told me, I would have watched them a lot sooner.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, I'll be okay. But it's just BS that nobody told me.
Yeah, sorry about
that. Yeah. Either of you see this write-up on Chevy Chase?
I saw a little bit of him slagging SNL. He had tuned into SNL and thought it was awful. But beyond that,
he's
I understand.
He's not wrong.
He is wrong, first of all. And let me tell you something, not to sidetrack here, but let me tell you something about Saturday Night Live. It's always hit and miss throughout its entire history.
Mm-hmm. Mostly miss.
No. There's a reason it's been on the air for 50 years.
Because it has no competition.
Because people like it.
But at 11:30 on a Saturday night.
Right.
What I'm saying is, at any time in its history, you will always find the consensus is, yeah, it used to be better. It doesn't matter what cast
I think that's probably very true.
The cast that you look back at as being the greatest cast ever, believe me, people were at that time were going, yeah, but it used to be better. That's just the history of that show.
You bring up a great point because he brings up my favorite cast and slags them all. Yeah.
Okay.
So he basically went off on SNL and he said, I don't want to put Lauren or the cast down, but I'll just say I'm amazed that Lauren has gone so low. I had to watch a little of it and I just couldn't effing believe it. That means a whole generation of S heads laughs at the worst effing humor in the world. You know what I mean? Oh, dear.
What does he mean?
So he said that after the first 2 years, it went downhill, which is when he was on.
Ah.
So he left in the middle of the second season in 1976.
But cranky.
He did praise former castmates Gilda Radner and Dan Aykroyd. Dan Aykroyd, he calls the funniest guy on the show and the leader
of the
show. Again,
those were from his cast, though.
Absolutely. And then he goes on to name check who I thought was some of the best cast.
Okay.
Will Ferrell, Tina Fey, Kristen Wiig.
He's out of his mind.
Here's what he says about Will Ferrell. Just not funny. Makes $25 million a picture. Yeah, because he's really funny.
He's out of his mind.
He's out of his mind. Then he says about Tina Fey, I didn't see what all the folderol was about. She was good.
She was great.
She was amazing, but he doesn't understand what the fuss was.
Mm-hmm.
Then on Kristen Wiig, she had two things going for her. She had clear-cut chops and she was pretty. But what happened to her? Where'd she go? I don't know. She was in a string of hits. What? And then he said about Eddie Murphy. He said he was funny, but his Stevie Wonder impression was, quote, not that hard for Christ's sake. Your skin's the same color. You just put on some sunglasses and do it.
Oh, he's sweet.
So then any impression of someone in your own race is easy, obviously.
Right, sure.
I mean, who?
Yeah, he's a cranky old dude.
He is a very cranky old dude. He came back for the 40th anniversary special in 2015. That's the last time he was on. But the last time he hosted was 1997. Even though he is asked to come back multiple times, but he's been denied by Lorne Michaels. Hmm. Lorne Michaels told him, quote, "You're too old." I said, "Oh, and Helen Mirren's pretty and young." Oh my God, you're such a dick. You are such a dick. But here's the quote that I read this and I thought he doesn't get how much people hate him.
Yeah.
He said, "I didn't get it. You're too old? We had many people older than me hosting. What did he mean? I've never understood what he meant, because I'd be very good, and it would be fun for an audience to see me doing that." Hmm. It's like denying that I was the guy who made the show really go that first year. I mean, we all know people like this that think they're a lot greater than they are, that they deserve a lot more kudos than they do. But maybe you were just a horrible person to be around, and it's easier to cut your losses than have a second of goodness every now and then.
Has he forgotten how much the people that he worked with on Community disliked him?
Apparently so.
I think he may not be aware of any of that.
Yeah.
But he's really burned a lot of bridges.
Well, I don't really care. If his goal is to get work, this interview is not going to help.
And I feel like Lorne Michaels isn't going to go, "You know what? Maybe I will have him back.
He's right.
He would be great." My goodness.
Sounds like a lot of fun to work with.
Yeah. But I do think you're right about SNL. We all think of our favorite cast members, and then it's been downhill since then. Because I think of that with Will Ferrell.
Ferrell?
Yep. Will Ferrell and Rachel Dratch and that crew. I just thought they were so ridiculously good.
Well, when people that you love leave, like Jason Sudeikis or Andy Samberg, I mean, there have been so many people that have come and gone that you go, well, the show's never going to recover from that. But somehow they usually end up, you know, hiring people that end up being good.
I mean, okay. Being okay.
They deserve some credit, Kevin.
Okay. Some.
Who are your favorite SNL?
I don't really have favorite SNL because I never really watched it because it was always so hit and miss. But here's the problem: when it was a miss, it's horrible.
Yeah,
you gotta have your misses come up a little bit so that you can miss and still be fine.
But here's what I don't understand: you'll go see the worst movie in the world and you'll say, "Well, if I got four laughs out of it, it was worth it."
In my defense, that's absolutely true.
Right.
And Saturday Night Live always has at least a couple of sketches that are really good, and then
There's some really good points in the sketch. There's no sketches that are really good front to back.
I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with that.
Have you seen The Californians? Come on.
I'm not a big fan. That's all.
You were making that clear.
Do you even live here? I mean, it's
I had to take
great.
The freeway.
It's amazing. It's real good.
I want to hear BG some more, though.
Yeah, please.
You got to get off on the 10.
Then take the 405 in La Cienega. Oh, it's just funny. And take Californians in L.A. But still, very funny.
Sure.
You guys, I want to just tell you about this story because there's a new Batman comic book that reveals a new darker side of the Dark Knight. And I'm talking about his downstairs mix-up. Know what I'm saying? Well,
his downstairs mix-up.
You see Batman's penis revealed in Damned Number 1. It's the first issue, from DC's mature Black Label imprint. The story follows the circumcised crusader, as he grapples with amnesia and tries to solve the Joker's murder. There's going to be two more issues of Damned, so, I mean, maybe we can see the bat schlong more.
I mean, is that something we need?
And it's given the spotlight it deserves. Well, apparently, DC wasn't really aware that they were going to show that.
Uh-huh.
So they have now censored the bat dong in the online versions of the comic.
I want to see a comic called Bat Dong.
Bat Dong. But, I mean, if you go to Vice.com, which is where I saw it, you can see the bat signal, you know what I'm saying?
What are you talking about? We want to see some naked dudes.
See? It's true. Just saying. I was not prepared this morning to click on a picture of Batman's schlong.
Well, I mean, how can you be?
I mean, I didn't need to blow it up so much, but it's my screensaver.
Sure.
It's basically what I'm saying. Sure. Some birthdays for you. Ben Shepherd, bassist, Soundgarden. John Bernthal, he's an actor. Walking Dead, The Punisher. George R.R. Martin, Game of Thrones. Prolific man. And, of course, one of our favorites from Veep, Entourage, the Brady Bunch movies, and, of course, Office Space, it's Gary Cole.
That's, oh, that's me.
Hey, you told us for 2 hours.
Wow.
I know, but you know what?
For
I
had to, 2 hours.
I mean.
But once I brought up the James Bond.
Boom. I mean.
Hey, next time you bring up Gary Cole, I got a lot of drops, so just give me time, everybody.
I named every single movie, left Office Space last, think he'd play it then. And then he didn't, so then I said Gary Cole took another pause.
Can you say it again? I missed it, Allie. Whose birthday was it?
One of our favorites from Veep, Entourage, the Brady Bunch movies, The Ring 2, and of course, Office Space.
Did you see the memo about this?
Gary Cole.
Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day. So, you know, if you want to, go ahead and wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.
Who's better than Gary Cole, by
the
way?
He's so amazing.
I mean, really.
Oh, and I almost forgot. I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay? Thanks.
I feel like he's also, he's in so much, but maybe back in the day you would have seen him, but you wouldn't have known his name, which is an easy way to say it. Or you can do this.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Now, you're a guy who I don't know your name.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That is some good work right there.
Oh, magic.
And Gary Cole, what'd you think about that?
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Okay.
And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie, the SoCal Helpful Honda dealer. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Keep It 100 because it's Friday. We've got Cheers with Mugs and at 7 a.m., Foo Fighters. Join us in studio tomorrow morning.